This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day presented by Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Check them out online at renaissanceinsurance.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, another speeding incident going on in Georgia for the football program. Georgia linebackers Chris Cole and Derek Equanob. Wow, that's tough. They were arrested Wednesday night on misdemeanor charges of speeding at maximum limits and other traffic-related charges. Along with the speeding charge, Athens-Clark County Police charged Cole with misdemeanor reckless driving. He was released on a $26 bond. And then Darren was charged with speeding, reckless driving, and following too closely. All misdemeanors. He was released on a $39 bond. The Bulldogs have endured a string of traffic-related arrests in recent years. Back in November, their backup offensive lineman and his mother were arrested after a traffic incident. So you've had quite a few of these taking place now. Slow the hell down in Georgia. It's crazy to me, Mike. The Chicago Bears push for a new stadium, according to Courtney Cronin of ESPN. That push took a meaningful step forward yesterday, opening the door for the storied franchise to leave Illinois and potentially build a new domed stadium in Northwest Indiana. What? Indiana lawmakers in the State House Ways and Means Committee unanimously approved an amendment to Indiana State Bill 27 by a vote of 24 to nothing on Thursday that would clear the path for the Bears to build a stadium in Hammond, Indiana. The bill would create the Northwest Indiana Stadium Authority with the power to issue bonds, acquire land, and finance construction for the stadium. So potentially the Chicago Bears would be Chicago no more.
Didn't they just renovate Soldier Field?
I don't know. Maybe.
Pretty sure they did. Fairly recently.
I want to read Faith's text here because she's our resident Bears fan. She said, even though Hammond is right on the Illinois border, basically, it's still almost a spit in the face to fans of the most storied franchise in the NFL. So would it be like where the Kansas City Chiefs were, kind of, where they're in Missouri, but Kansas kind of still views them as their team, kind of?
Well, that's a little different because it's Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri.
Right. So it's kind of split.
It's not the same city, but they're both named Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So that it doesn't really
kind
change.
Of. Yeah, yeah.
This is way different.
Way worse. Arlington Heights is still on the table as an option, which is about the same distance from Chicago, but still in the state. It just feels more sad. I feel more sadly about money than honoring this team and fans and keeping the integrity of that history. The Bears is more than a franchise. It's an institution. The move for the business minds there is more appealing to move to Indiana versus Arlington Heights because of the tax incentives, some political and financial appeals. Will we still be fans? I mean, I will, because I don't bail on my loyalty, but Will it have a Baltimore Colts to Indiana to Indianapolis Colts feel? Absolutely. Minus the middle of the night escape. Yeah, she says last major renovation of Soldier Field was 2003, according to her, Michael. So,
oh, I thought it was more recent than that.
When you're having fun. Dude, the idea of not having a football team in Chicago. I'm not even a big Chicago Bears fan, but you... I guess I'm a Broncos fan, so when I could say that fairly about 31 other teams. An NFL without the Chicago Bears is not a good thing. I don't know what the next step would be here. I mean, it sounds like it's moving rather quickly. Indiana Governor Mike Brown wrote on his X account, "Indiana is open for business, and our pro-growth environment continues to attract major opportunities like this partnership with the Chicago Bears. We've identified a promising site near Wolf Lake in Hammond and established a broad framework for negotiating a final deal. If approved, the proposed amendment to Senate Bill 27 puts forward the essential framework to complete this agreement." The Bears, we read about this earlier. The Bears have been seeking legislation in Illinois that would allow the team to negotiate tax payments with local governing bodies instead of paying full property taxes. The team had previously announced that it would invest $2 billion into the construction of a stadium, but was seeking an estimated $850 million in public funding to cover essential local infrastructure. So they're seeking that public funding. That's when you're talking about the taxes of people, when you're going to the people of your city and to really help build up a new stadium. And they're saying, if you don't do it, then we'll move. I guess. Faye said they might have done a few little upgrades over the years, but not like a maybe full-on renovation.
There was a proposal last year that was in the billions, I think. But, yeah, she's right. I thought it was recently, but I must have been reading up on the proposal.
Yeah. Dude, so you're telling me Indiana's going to have two football teams? And Chicago and Illinois is not going to have one?
I think this is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way.
Can Indiana support two football teams?
No. I mean, there are a lot of Indiana fans who are Bears fans. Like, a lot of people who live in Indiana who root for the Bears. Like, this would help maybe, like, the Indiana people. But if you're looking at Chicago, not sure how many Chicago fans would continue to root for the Bears.
Dude, this is a storied franchise. This is one of the old G's when it comes to the NFL.
Yeah, this is, I was saying to you during one of the breaks, like, there are certain franchises that should never move. The Bears are one of them.
Yeah, the Bears are definitely one of them. You know, the Packers.
Yep, can't move them.
You know, the Steelers. There's a few that are just like these old school teams that have been there from almost the beginning.
I mean, I could make an argument. The teams that were around before the AFL, none of them, like, they should be in that city or around that city. Moving to a different state, I don't care how adjacent it is, moving to a different state is unacceptable.
If they're saying, I mean, how essential are these upgrades that they need, these renovations that they need? If they're saying the only way we can make this happen is we need public funding, if we don't get it, we're going to move the team. Are they bluffing? Or does it sound like they would really move the team?
I don't know. I'm kind of leaning more towards their bluffing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards their bluffing.
Yeah,
but
moving them out of Chicago, man.
Moving them out of Chicago is a dangerous thing. Houston moved, but when the Oilers moved, they were on the downslide.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Bears aren't very good.
No, but the Bears are one of those teams that even when they're bad, they're still the Bears.
Yeah.
They're still popular. They're marketable. There's Chicago, man. Chicago. I know they've got some issues with the city and stuff, but it's still one of the great cities of America.
I mean, they're so popular. One of the more famous Saturday Night Live skits was about the Chicago Bears.
Correct. And don't they film that in New York?
Yeah.
So, and they made like the whole Da Bears thing as a reoccurring deal.
I mean, this would be a sacrilege.
They're one of the most popular franchises in all of sports, not just the NFL. Man, that would be a tough blow. The Bears lease at Soldier Field, the stadium where they play right now, but is owned by the city of Chicago. Their lease runs through 2033. So, and maybe there's time to try to figure something out before that gets done, but it moves rather quickly. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Okay, so the NBA has a new plan to make anti-tanking rule changes for the for next season. They plan to go forward with this, according to Shams over at ESPN. The league offices, conversations with stakeholders from the Board of Governors, Competition Committee, and general managers have been intensifying dialogue about combating tanking, including starting to propose potential concepts for changes during its December meeting with owners. They also had another meeting in late January. Why so fast? I mean, it was like, boom, Adam Silver started talking about tanking, and then bam. That's probably because gambling companies are putting some pressure on old Adam, old AS. Sources with knowledge of Thursday's meeting have put out these concepts. These have been the ones that have been discussed to curb tanking. First round draft picks can be protected only for top 4 or top 14 plus selections. It's always been confusing, the protected draft pick. So basically, if you trade your pick but you're bad and you end up being in the top 4, that pick would be protected, so the pick would stay with you. Like, you weren't planning to be that bad, but you were, so you keep your pick, essentially. I guess that's what that means. I was trying to go through that with the dude down the hall. The NBA is very confusing on everything they do. How does that prevent tanking? I mean, the first round draft picks can be protected only for top 4. Isn't it usually the top 4 or the lower 4 that are the ones in question that are tanking? Lottery odds freeze at the trade deadline or a later date. Okay, well, they'll just tank before the trade deadline. So you'll have crappy basketball for more than half of the season as opposed to after the All-Star break. No longer allowing a team to pick in the top 4 in consecutive years and or after consecutive bottom 3 finishes. That's an MLB thing. That's what Major League Baseball does. That's why the Rockies aren't picking number 1 every single year. I don't mind that.
Although the
Rockies haven't been tanking. They haven't been doing it on purpose, Mike, so they get punished for just being bad, which sucks.
They don't tank on purpose. They are the tank.
Teams can't pick at the top 4 the year after making the conference finals. This would be an Indiana Pacers rule. You know, they lost Halliburton last year, and he's out for the season. And so they've tanked to try to add another pick to get in with Tyrese Halliburton. Well, they're saying, no, you were a good team last year, and when that guy comes back, you're going to be good again. We're not going to reward you. This won't take effect this summer, obviously, in the draft, but this rule was probably put in place for just such an instance with what's going on with the Pacers. That'd be like, for you to understand it, Mike, that's like the NFL saying just because Peyton, if you were in the playoffs maybe, like Peyton Manning's out, we don't want to reward you just because Manning's out and you're having a bad season. We don't know that you're moving on from Manning. And then you can go draft Andrew Luck. Lottery odds allocated based on two-year records. So they would take your last 2 years, so you couldn't, you'd have to, so there's, see, this is worse, man. This is like saying, we want you to commit to the tank. So it's got to be a two-year deal, not a year. I mean, yeah, maybe that keeps teams from doing it, because it's like, well, it's not just this 1 year that we have to put up with tanking. We have to have a two-year stint where we're really bad. Lottery extended to include all play-in teams. Why? Flatten odds for all lottery teams. So with that, does that mean, if you say flatten the odds, does that mean everybody has the same odds of getting the number one pick? During Thursday's GM meeting, Silver, the NBA office, and the league's 30 top team executives shared a desire to have ongoing discussions to safeguard the integrity of the sport. Silver was described as forceful with his message about wanting to solve the problem that has gained steam across the league in recent weeks. So he's forceful when it comes to this. Not forceful when it comes to flopping and trade baiting, trade seeking. But we're forceful when it comes to tanking. Whoa, it's DraftKings, man. It's FanDuel. They're hurting your overs. They're hurting player props. Less teams to bet on, because if we know a team's tanking, we're not going to bet on that team. Less markets now. The tanking markets are probably not betting on their team to do much if they know they're tanking. This is why I don't think tanking is what's hurting the NBA the most. Do I think it's an issue? Yes. But it's also your system. This isn't going to prevent tanking. None of these things that I'm reading here prevents tanking. First round draft picks can be protected. Now, flattening the odds for all lottery teams, saying, you know, basically, that's the biggest one. Because if you're saying, hey, everyone gets an equal amount of a shot, then it would keep you from, like, if you're saying 14 teams, because that's where the lottery ends, I believe, 14. Or maybe it's less than 14 now. Is it just 10? Maybe it's 10. But they're saying the lottery would extend to include the play-in team, so 14. You flatten the odds so everybody gets 1 through 4?
14 teams.
14 teams, okay, yeah. 14 teams. And what doesn't flattening the odds, Michael, just mean you're going across the board? So 14 has just as good a shot to get a first-round pick or first pick overall as number one?
Yeah.
Well, that would prevent some of tanking. That would actually be the fix right there. Why not just leave it at that? Flatten all odds for all lottery teams. That's the thing though. Not every team's trying to tank every year. Some teams are just bad, and they don't get the free agents because they're honestly they're cities like Denver. There are places like that. They don't get. I mean, OKC is an anomaly right now. Denver's an anomaly because of Joker. But these attractive cities have a harder time winning the free agency game. So they got to try to win the draft game.
It feels like it. Like this is a uniquely basketball and baseball thing where the stars just want to go to the coasts, New York and L.A. In the NFL, it's different, but. And this is not a criticism of those sports. It's just, well, it is longer, what it is. Who wants to go to Milwaukee?
They're longer seasons, and you're spending more time in those cities. You know? Like,
you don't have that bye week.
Yeah. Football, for some reason, the East Coast, West Coast thing doesn't really matter to free agents. Why is that? Is it because the season? Is it because half the season they're on the road or their schedules are too crazy to do much anyway? Basketball, there's more perhaps marketing opportunities and things like that. I'm not sure why that is. Why is that?
I mean, maybe it's because you're not wearing a helmet. People see your face more. There's, like you said, more marketing opportunities. Like, if Jokic was in L.A., would there be more advertisers going after him?
Probably. There'd be more Taco Bell stories, you know, more business opportunities if you wanted them.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a...
It was part of why Melo wanted to go to New York. I mean, he had ties to New York, obviously, with Syracuse. But then his wife wanted to go there, plus he kind of wanted to go there to increase your brand awareness. Has Luka gotten more popular since going to the Los Angeles Lakers? He was already extremely popular with Dallas, but he got more popular now, certainly now that he's a Laker.
Yeah, but that fan base is annoying.
Oh, 100%. They're the worst fan base in all of sports. Big Hub, there's a better chance winning in football than basketball. I guess free agents look at that in football. Because if you're a free agent in the NBA, man, a lot of things got to go right for you to build up a team to win a championship against and usurp whoever is winning it on a regular basis.
Do trades just feel more wacky in the NBA
yes,
than they do the NFL?
Because they're confusing as hell, and everything about the NBA is confusing. The salary cap is more confusing than the NFL's. Now they've added the aprons. Those are confusing. The play-in tournament. Once you get it, but it's still confusing. Now they've added the cup. That's confusing. The All-Star game. It's confusing. We have three teams in it, and they do a round robin, and one's Team USA, and the other one's Team World. Bunch of guys that are just not from America, but we'll put them on the same team so they can represent their countries individually. Everything Adam Silver has touched, he's just gotten too confusing with it, Michael. You know what it reminds me of? You know what Adam Silver is? He is the Marvel franchise. Like, it used to be simpler.
Marvel Phase 5.
It's Tony Stark gets trapped in a cave, and he's Iron Man. He has to become Iron Man. He gets out. And then it's Thor. He's from another planet. And it's the Hulk. Oh, he had a science explosion and became the Hulk. And then it's, who's the other one I'm missing?
Captain America?
Captain America. Wow, how did I forget that one? He was a science experiment. They might have made him a great soldier. Oh, they got their own stories. Then they join forces. Then steps in writers and Adam Silver type people that are like, what if we add this story? What if we do a TV show about three characters that people didn't really love in the movies, but let's do a two-season series about them? You know, let's create side characters. Oh, let's do a movie. Let's do another version of the Avengers and... Let's make this movie. That's Adam Silver in the NBA. Let's complicate this more and more. Add more things. Because that's what fans want to see. No, man. Cade Cunningham said it. Fans don't want to see free throws. They don't want to see the flow of games stopping. They don't want to see, I love him. They don't want to see Nikola Jokic at half court. Have a player on him, sees that his hands are getting close to his arms, and then raking up so he catches an arm on the way up and shoots it, trying to get a foul call. It's not a natural shot. Nobody's drawing up a play 5 feet from the half-court line. It's not natural. Nobody wants to see Shea constantly get to the line, and if he's amongst the trees, he's not going to be able to win a one-on-one up in the air battle, so I'm going to contort my body in ways that make it look like I'm getting fouled. Nobody wants to see constant threes and getting dissolved in the paint. That's why the game used to be beautiful. We used to have, you know, the jump shot was great. Kobe perfected it. Fadeaway jumper. Jamal still does it. A few players still do it. But we got away from it. It's either the three ball or we're getting into the paint. Because you know, hey, shoot the three, great, take the chance. But if I get into the paint, refs are typically going to call fouls if I can create some kind of contact. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Jake, the geologist guy. The Bears should, we're talking about the Bears thing. The Bears should foot the bill, the whole bill, for how much money these teams make. They can go pound sand. And I mean, that's probably the feeling amongst most people. It's like, wait, you got these multi-billionaires with these teams that make a lot of money, and they're going to ask you to pay for it with your taxes?
That's the criticism.
Yeah, it's always been the deal.
And you know, there are some owners who are really poor, like not really poor, but poorer than others. But that's when you know, say, okay, sorry, we can't afford a stadium.
Texture kind of, this is where you've always gone, too. Texture here from the 970. Economists are pretty universally in agreement by using public funding for stadium subsidies is not a great idea. Buffalo Bills is considered one of the worst for the public. San Diego and Oakland should be happy they aren't on the hook for paying a billionaire to have a new stadium.
Yeah, San Diego and Oakland, that's why they both left. San Diego voted it down. Oakland, I don't know if it went to the ballot, but they didn't want it.
Eastside Chris says, Broncos called a bluff before when there was talk of them moving the team out of Denver.
Yep.
But wasn't the reason to want to move the Broncos out of Denver was because they didn't believe they could really grow a fan base here? Like, it couldn't be like a Chicago fan base. Like, wasn't it Floyd Little that showed them? That was one of the reasons, like, oh, wow, fans love that guy. We could become popular. Wasn't that part of it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, back in the 60s, they were also really terrible. Like, they didn't really have a winning season since, like, 1976, I think.
Big Hub says, and yes, basketball players care more about the popularity than football players. On that note, yeah. Jake, the geologist guy, says the Broncos are doing it right now, or doing it right for the new stadium. Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do it all. Well, there's the Walmarts. They have a lot of money.
Yeah, the only issue is, you know, there is going to have to be some infrastructure done. Roads are going to have to be built and, you know, plumbing and stuff. So the taxpayers are going to be on the hook for that part. But the Walmarts themselves, I believe, are building the stadium. Let's hope they don't go and ask the taxpayers for that.
Do you have as big of a problem if it's a millionaire, if it's a guy kind of like Dick Monfort? He doesn't have the money that most owners have. He's rich to us. But if he came and said, hey, Coors Field is just like, let's just pretend for a moment that it's just decrepit. It's becoming awful. Seats are bad. It's rickety. It's not a good stadium anymore. But he couldn't even maybe potentially afford to build a new stadium by himself. How do you feel if he's like, we're going to need help? And you look at what he's actually making and go, that would be very difficult for him to pay for all of that.
He's going to have to pay the taxpayers back. It's going to have to be, okay, I have a plan. I'm going to pay the taxpayers back. They're going to share in ticket revenue. They're going to share in concession revenue. This is how it's going to have to be. Like, I am pro that. Or the city owns, like, he doesn't own it. The city owns it, and he rents the building. That's what it would have to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the taxpayers do have to get paid back. Not everybody is a fan. Not everybody wants to go out there.
Yeah,
the project isn't for everybody. Yeah, everyone's paying.
And not everybody's a sports fan. Not everybody cares.
Yeah.
This is what it is. Faith on the NBA. I know it's some necessity. It has some necessity, but it's the fouls at the last minute of games, especially college, that makes the last minute like 10 additional minutes. And my wife gives me crap for that all the time. Like, oh, the last 2 minutes. Oh, so you mean it's going to be 30 more minutes? And it's hard to disagree. The fouls and the timeouts. College is worse with the timeouts. There's too many timeouts in basketball. We got to eliminate timeouts. There's too many. Three per half. Do you really need that much? Do you need that many? 34 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
And talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group, formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs. Check them out online at team-rig.com, or you can call 970-674-8825. Esai Chris says, but Brady, what about all those TV timeouts in the NBA? They do make money that way. I get that. What do they get, seven timeouts during Regulation 7? That's what I'm saying. Like, remove one at least. And then just increase your advertising cost. Easy for me to say. Yeah, this is wild. The NBA is in the news. We got potentially Chicago Bears moving. The Bears moving out of Chicago. And the Nuggets have me a little scared right now. Oh, and we've got Team USA and Slovakia going on at 110, Michael. 110. A chance to go play Canada for a gold medal. And that would be Sunday. If they win, the game, that gold medal game is going to be Sunday at 6 o'clock in the morning, I believe.
I want to see Slovakia play Czechia.
Okay, I would rather see Team USA play Canada for the gold. That's what
I mean, I would too, but I just want to see those two play against each other.
I know, but I'm more excited about Team Canada and Team USA.
We used to be the same country, but now we're not the same country anymore.
More excited to see USA and Canada. 41 minutes after the hour, Michael, we got to make up some time here. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just a really rough sequence last night. I mean, the Clippers are going to be in a tough go the rest of the way. They're getting some players, though. They have a couple of guys. They're good defensive players. Good defensive team. But this whole thing, man. So the Nuggets would build on a lead, and then the Clippers would just keep crawling back. And then they ultimately got the lead. They outscored Denver 33-25 in the third. That was kind of the difference there. But I go to the last 25 seconds of this game. You get Joker trying to go in. Denver's down 110-107. It's 110-107. After Benedict Mathurin, who is really freaking good and just went off from the bench last night, hits a free throw. And then you get Joker's trying to go down, make a closer game. He gets a shot blocked by Brook Lopez. John Collins gets the defensive rebound, throws it out to Derrick Jones, and Tim Hardaway Jr. gets dinged with the personal take foul. And he knew he screwed up. He felt miserable. He apologized after the game, all that. Derrick Jones Jr. goes to the free throw line, puts Detroit up 110-107, makes another one, 111-107. Jamal Murray makes a shot. Okay, 111-109. Clippers take a timeout. Then they just forget about Brook Lopez in the inbound play after the timeout. And he just pretty much from half court just skips on down, gets an easy dunk. And now it's 113-109. Nuggets take a timeout. Jamal Murray comes back, hits a three. Okay, still in business here. 11 seconds left, 113-112. And then you had another take foul. Mathurin makes his both of his free throws. It's now 115-112. And then you get Jamal Murray, 0.9 seconds left, takes a three. And an opportunity to tie this game. Jamal makes one, makes two. David Adelman subs Jonas in. So it disrupts the flow of the free throw. He subs Jonas in because he's assuming Jamal's going to miss it. And he wants a guy to come in and help with rebounding. And, of course, Jamal misses the final free throw attempt. And Denver loses 115 to 114. This was just, I mean, there was a lot of good moments in this game. You know, you're seeing, I mean, Julian Strother, the minutes he gets, he's playing pretty well. He started last night. He had 18 points. He was 6 of 10 from the three. Christian Brown only had 7, but his defensive ability started to look quicker there. So that's a good sign. Cameron Johnson had 18. Joker was 0 for 6 from 3. And Jamal was 2 for 5. Combined, just from field goal percentage, 14 for 37 between those two. And 10 turnovers between those two. Something just doesn't look right. Joker's touch is off. And I'm wondering if it's the wrist, too. But they're having a hard time just trying to figure out this lineup now that they're trying to get guys back in the mix. 12:49 the time. Is it cause for concern? Are we hitting a panic button on the Denver Nuggets at this point? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe.
Two parades.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Hear Nuggets and Avalanche games on Northern Colorado's voice.
Yeah!
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Check out your weekend plans. Stop by Big City Roadhouse. Stop by tonight, man. They are the best. I'm telling you, the absolute best. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. They got a full bar, a menu with creative cocktails, and just wonderful food. You want tavern-style pizza, wings, steak. You got Big City burritos. You got burritos there, actually. They do breakfast burritos, too. There's never a bad time to go to Big City Roadhouse. And we're going to be out there on March 19th for one of our March Madness parties starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be watching all things hoops that day. We want you to come join us. And just by walking in the door, you're going to be entered to win a smart TV at Big City Roadhouse. So come join us. We'd love to hang out with the Hooligans there. Coming up next, we'll get to buy or sell. And the Rockies are practicing. That's exciting. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.